From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. So we are talking about some actual tools last week and this week. Last week we talked about Zoomit.
Yep, awesome. System Sounds tool.
And today we're going to talk about desktops.
Desktops, which is kind of like a similar thing. Also written by by Mark Vasinovich for SysInternals. Another UI-based program. Zoomit is all about shrinking into a part of the screen. Desktops is about giving you more desktops. And it's kind of like, I think it's a concept that you see in Unix a bit more.
Yeah,
X Windows and stuff. And it's the idea that your whole desktop can be repeated and you have multiple. And it's kind of like having multi-mon without having multi-mon.
So you have all your work on one desktop and you have Solitaire on the other.
Boss key, yep.
Yeah, okay. I know what's going on.
Going back
there.
To the 80s for that one.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of running it. SysInternals tool, download it as part of the package. Run desktops and you get the standard EULA.
EULA.
EULA. And it's now version 2. And desktops was sitting at version 1 for many, many, many years and had all these subversions. And Windows 8 completely destroyed the way it worked. So Mark had to do quite a big rewrite. And it bumped the version number up to 2.0. So it supports Windows 8. Main difference is it had to now understand the start tiles, right, which is a different concept.
Yeah.
So it had to adjust for that. Much like with Zoomit, it's all hotkey based. Zoomit uses the control keys, then 1, 2, 3, 4. Desktops uses the alt keys by default, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they don't kind of they sit well with each other very well. So we just for the first time you do that, you get it configured, and then you'll get an icon on the desktop or notification bar. You'll see that currently how it's got a little bright corner. That's the current desktop we're in. So currently we only have one desktop. And what I'm going to do is before I go too far, I'm going to start an application and so you can kind of tell the difference. So this one's going to have, say, for example, Explorer on it. And when I press Alt 2, we're going to get a new desktop. It's going to launch a new taskbar and everything else. And it's going to look the same. And you'll notice that this little corner thing now is turned on. And if we hover over it or click on it, you'll actually get a snapshot of every screen that you've got.
Are those live or are they preview?
I don't know, actually. Easy way of finding out. We'll put a IE with the chameleon.
My question exactly.
He's back.
No, they're snapshots.
Okay.
It's simple as that. And so if you just want to jump between two, Alt 1, Alt 2, and you can, speed is really good. It's not really much more complex than that. You can have up to four, and it's just a good way of getting yourself a little bit of extra real estate.
So someone like you who has a whole bunch of windows open, you probably have, WinBag open on, 50 different instances on one screen.
Yeah.
But it'll allow you to go into different modes. Because sometimes I'm in, the editing video mode. Mm. I'm in the writing an email, going through a bunch of things. Or another one, too, is I'll use desktops because I'll have, 50 tabs open on Explorer.
Yeah, it's a good example. I know a lot of people in support do it on, per support case. They get all their assets up for one support case, their notepad and their case system and everything else. And then when they have to change tasks, they just make a new desktop and continue on because they know they're going to come back to it. So it's a good way of it's kind of like a saving metaphor, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What about multiple multiple monitors? Does it?
I have no idea.
No,
I was waiting for someone to say that.
I stumped you.
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, one way to find out.
Yeah,
I'll go try it.
Actually, we can try this way. Come on, you can do it. Windows P.
Is in there cursing you.
Windows P is
changing the resolution.
Not happy. So. What's my
there you go.
There we go. It looked like that flyout was only coming up on desktop 1, and I was on desktop 2 at that point in time. So, there were quirks. Windows 8 really did push the tool to its limit, and for some period of time, it looked like it wasn't going to come out. But
yeah.
Mark conquered that.
Well, he's smart that way.
Yeah. So it's kind of like pretty simple tool and not really much to talk about. So I thought, well, let's actually drill behind the scenes and find out how this thing works, right, and talk about a couple of concepts that Mark's kind of leveraging to do this. So what you need to know is how can you have multiple desktops for a login? And that means what you need to know is you need to know what's called a window station and you need to know what's called a session. And we can use WinOBJ for that to see some of this stuff. OBJ is not looking at the objects, it's not looking at the structures itself, it's actually looking at the object namespace to find that some things are there. Not all things are in the namespace, so we don't see all of it, we see only half the story, and I'll show you how we can look at the other half of the story later. So we have to run it elevated. And so there's the concept of sessions, and when Windows came out, there was, as in back in NT3.1 days, there was only session, well, there was no sessions, there was just one space for everybody. And in Vista, they recognize that there's a security risk between having NT services in particular sharing the same space that you are as a user. And so they split them apart. And so in Vista and higher, you will see 0 and 1. So 0 is where all the system programs are running, and 1 is where the first login to the physical console is running. If I use fast user switching, you know how you can have like more than one local user logged on at once? Mm-hmm. You would see 2, 3, 4, 5. If you remote desktoped in, you'll see a much higher number, like in like the 60,000 range. But each user of the box gets a session. All right. Within a session, there is what's called Windows stations. And a Windows station is roughly the rendering ability of Windows. It's the ability to put Microsoft Windows applications on the screen, right? That's like the object that you call through. The one that's made in by default for the first Windows station in each session is called WinSTA0. Programs can make their own. You only tend to get one Windows station. It's very rare that you'll see more than one Windows station in a session.
So why would a program make its own?
It's for isolation, and there's a lot of security that comes with this. And you'll see that I can see here that in my own session that I have a Windows station, but I can't see the Windows stations of session 0. It's not listed, right? Mm-hmm. And I've got a program that shows you kind of how far you can go. You can get down to the Windows station, but I can't see the desktops within the Windows station because you've got to run in the context of the Windows station to enumerate the desktops. And if you go down to the bottom one, even though it's not listed up here in session 0, there actually is more Windows stations registered on the box. And this is a good example of why you'd have multiple. Session 0 has these 3, 4, 5, and 7. And if you look it up, one of them is a local system, one of them is network service, and one of them is... What's that one?
Secure desktop?
Network, local system, and local account. And so between sessions, you can't talk. It's a very strict security boundary. And as I'll show you in a very sec, even running as God, which is the system account, I still only have limited ability to see across sessions. You can't see between Windows stations. And so for the example of our Windows station, I can enumerate the desktops within me, but I can't enumerate the desktops within someone else, right? And it's only because the object namespace has these names in it that we know it exists. I actually can't enumerate them via the pure APIs, as in the ones that would give me like the ability to interact with the object, that they even exist. And I'll show you what I mean by that. So what I did was I made a demo app, because that's the only real way of seeing these programs. And it's called Enumerate SWD, enumerate sessions, Windows stations, and desktops. And at the moment, I'm logged in as the standard user, right? And what I can see, we'll start from the bottom. I am in session 1, and I can actually ask the Windows, is this one, session actually on the physical device rather than on remote desktop? And I've actually put that in brackets. So if I actually logged off and logged on as a second user and they would get session 2, it would still say I'm on the physical console because I currently am controlling it. Session 1, if it asked that program that question in the background, would lose that because it's not physically attached. And the physical console is the way of describing it is who's actually touching the keyboard, the mouse, and the screen right now, right? As soon as you log off and change user, that other session would lose those objects, and so you wouldn't be the physical console anymore. Within that, we have a WinStation. It's always called WinSDA0, as I said. And then within here, we have two desktops. We have the default one, which is the one we logged into, and the Windows System Desktop 1, which is actually the second one on this list. Right, it starts with 0, if you want to think of it notationally that way. If I press Alt-3 and get myself a new desktop, the notification bars and everything else is running, and then jump back and do that again, we're now going to have Desktop 2. And that's what Mark's doing. He's adding new desktops to the Windows Station.
So when you press 3 for the first time, it takes a couple seconds for the taskbar to come in. That's what's happening there?
Yeah, so it has to make Explorer, it has to make the taskbar, it has to render the wallpaper. All the things that you would do at normal login, you're seeing it. And we've kind of talked about this in one of the synchronization episodes, that there's an event that says, I'm ready to render. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not really applying here. We're not waiting for the render. So that's why we saw it build up.
Yeah.
So it you would see 3 copies of Explorer running mm-hmm. now under your user account, yep. right?
And yep. then now that you have that, you can switch between them like lightning.
Yeah, like super fast. Yeah.
Cool.
So this is, as I said, a standard user. So there's 2 subsystems in Windows that help me work out what's going on. There's the Windows Station APIs, which is what does the whole bottom part of this graph. And then there's the LSA, Local Security Authority. So it's actually very hard to actually work out what other sessions are on the box because it's a security boundary, right? And so I can ask LSA, who's logged onto the box right now, right? And NT services log on and users log on and stuff like that. Currently, as a standard user, I only have the right to find out about the 2 sessions that are actually me, right? I'm in session 1, which is the default one for when you're logging in. Here's the machine name and my username, and it was an interactive login, so it knows that I actually logged in via that mechanism rather than, say, remote interactive, which would be an RDP connection or a service logon. Actually, there's 9. It can tell me there's 9 in the box, but I'm not allowed to view the other 7. It says, yeah, you don't have the rights. So I can get a little bit further than this. I can, if I run an elevator prompt, as you'd guess, as an administrator level token, I have a little bit more access, and you can see down here, one actually more desktop turned up, right? Before we saw default desktop 1 and desktop 2, and now we actually see WinLogon. WinLogon is the Control Alt Del screen, right? Mm-hmm. So when you press Control Alt Del, it's still within the same Windows Station, which is the PC that's doing its keyboard and mouse work. And when you press Control Alt Del, it flips out the desktop and brings in the Windows login desktop. Right, it's as fast as changing to the other Windows, the system terminals ones, right? It's the same concept. And there's one more which you don't see because it's made on demand, which is called the secure desktop, which is what Chad just said. Mm-hmm. So when you get the UIC prompt, what it does is it takes a screen capture of what the PC looks like now, puts the gray overlay over the whole thing, then renders the UIC dialogue on it. Right.
I didn't realize that was just a screenshot. I would have thought it'd be live video.
No, it has to be because
it's a separate desktop.
So it copies it, and then a new desktop is made. That's all rendered on it, and which means you're locked into that desktop.
And the reason they do that is so that apps, there's that security boundary, so that apps can't run and stuff a Y key in there to auto accept that prompt, because you can send keystrokes through window messages to other apps in the same session, but not across. Within the same desktop, sorry. Yeah. But not across that boundary.
Interesting.
So that prevents some app from just stuffing a keystroke in there and auto accepting.
So Mark has a talk, Malware Hunting or something like that it's called, and he showed an example of a virus that actually takes advantage of this ability. And what it does is it watches the desktop, and as any window is made, it reads the desktop's title, the title on the title bar. And if it has the word in system terminals in it, it kills that program, right? So if you try to bring up Process Monitor or Process Explorer or any of those things, it goes, hey, this thing probably can track me down and kill me, so it kills the app.
Yeah.
And so what he did is desktops, which doesn't have a UI, wasn't blocked when you first run it. So he was able to make another desktop, and because the virus was running in desktop, the default desktop, it couldn't enumerate the windows on the other desktop. It's a security boundary. So then he could bring up Presence Monitor, Presence Explorer, auto runs.
He's so smart.
And then kill it remotely. Now, the process, the ability to kill processes, that's at the session level.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's all these security levels. And it's kind of cool how you can get this clean space, as you will. So what's all this stuff above me, right? So the bottom point is to show you what desktops there are. I've got one more to show. So there's actually a level higher than administrator, which is system account. So system is roughly the operating system rather than your pretty ubiquitous ability to interact with it. You'll see that there's only four there at the moment. If we go one level higher and use PS exec, and we're saying minus S is run a system, minus I is run on the interactive desktop, which is this one, default, right? The interactive session, which is session one, the one we're currently logged in as, and D is say detached. I don't want to wait around for CMD to finish. And so now, if we went back here and go, who am I? I don't know if people know, but who am I? It tells you the current username. If I go in here and go, who am I? It will say I'm running as NT Authority System. System has pretty much all the access you can get in Windows. There is stuff that's higher than that, like Trusted Installer and stuff like that, but that's about as high as you can go before you kind of get past the line of absurdity. So if you find you've got issues with permissions, run up a PS exec with a SID, my SID, CMD prompt, and see if that helps you. So if we do one more on UNUM now, we actually now get one more, the disconnect desktop. So for things like RDP and stuff like that, when the session breaks, it's much like the secure desktop. It has a frozen screenshot of what you have. And so when RDP needs to kick in and say, hey, this desktop's hidden, it changes the desktop from the real one to the default one and stops you being able to interact with it anymore. And all you've got is that dialog that says, do you want to reconnect? And it has this nice gray outline of what's behind it. So that's how that works. Looking at what the system can give us, account can give us, this guy actually can enumerate all nine accounts, all right? Is it in order? There's a zero up here, but there's session zeros and there's session ones. So session zeros are the ones for the services and stuff like that, and you can see that there's a login for each reason, and so there's the anonymous logon, and some of these you can't actually work out what the login type is. Here's actually a logon of the computer object itself. So it's actually logging in as the computer rather than logging in as the user. This one, local service and so on. You actually notice that there's some DWMs. So in session one, there's actually a user logged in who knows how to control desktop Windows management. And that's the ability to do all this flipping between desktops when always control at Dell screens. It makes it all fluid and stuff like that. So as I said, the way we found out the sessions existed is actually ask who's logged on, and because a logon is always associated with a session, you're never cross-sessioned logged on. So it's kind of interesting to delve deep into the bowels. So I thought, I know that my box at home is quite complex. It's a media center box. And so I've got a screenshot for you. What did I do with it? What did I do with it? Wrong one. So I took a screenshot of my box at home, and there's some kind of interesting ones in here. So at the bottom, as you expect, there's all the zeros, which were the NT services. And then in this case, my wife actually logged onto the box first before I did, right? So she got session one. I then logged on as session two, which is where I am currently. And you can see that it's just got the default three. I took this as the system account, so the PS exec way of seeing it. And then you'll actually notice that there's some threes, right? And these MCX2 and MCX4 are actually Media Center. And so Media Center actually makes an account. And at this point in time, I had two Xboxes turned on in my house.
Right? MCX is Media Center Extender.
Mm. And so, yeah, I have three in my house, and they come up as 2, 3, and 4. That's the user who's actually doing the Xbox rendering. And it actually makes a window station, and it makes a desktop, and then it risically, in a very RDP way, gets that rendering and sends it to the Xbox as the render. Right? Yeah,
the Media Center Extender protocol is all based over RDP. Yeah. It's an extension to that. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just interesting to see how, you know, other things use this technology, and Media Center Extender is one of those. And that's really it. I mean, sessions are a security boundary. Within that, there's Windows stations. Some of the Windows stations are called by this big service name, which like breaks them up. So there is multiple Windows stations in session zero, one for each of the security reasons. And then within that, you have desktops. You can make new desktops with desktops tool, but you also have desktops that, you know, fly around with WinLogin, Secure Desktop, the disconnect dialog, stuff like that. So. Yeah,
very cool.
Have fun with desktops. It's a great tool.
Nice. That's the show for this week. If you have questions, leave your questions in the bottom of the show notes down here, and we'll get back to them. Or you can write us at defragtools@microsoft.com. See you next week.
Have a good week. Bye.